Hello? Can everybody hear me? It's a Dr. Withrow.
I can hear you.
Perfect.
Yes.
Nice to meet you. I'm Kirsten.
Guys. So, before we get started, can everybody put their microphones on mute until you want to ask a question or or want to reply to me? So, let's see. Just 6 o'clock, and so I am recording this for others who can't attend. So why don't we get started? Because it's 6 o'clock, and I so appreciate all of you guys here and making time to log in and learn a little bit more about the University of Northern Colorado's dietetic internship. So thank you for taking time. Okay. I'd like to begin with introducing our DI staff. So I'm Nikki Withrow. I'm the program director of the program. Nicole Schmidt is our supervised practice coordinator. And she primarily works with our MS, our master's program. And then Amy Baird, who is logged on as well, is our administrative assistant for the dietetic internship program. Tonight, Amy is going to
Dr. Withrow, can I interrupt?
Yes.
Your microphone sounds like it's being covered or muffled or something. It's not the best sound right now.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Is that better?
Yes, that sounds much better.
Okay. So were you able to hear who Nicole is and who Amy is?
No.
Okay. So let me start over. So I'm Nikki Withrow. I'm the program director. And Nicole Schmitu is our supervised practice coordinator. And she works primarily with the MSBI students. And Amy Baird is our administrative assistant for the dietetic internship program. And she is also available tonight, if you don't have a microphone, to type in questions and she'll read them through. So the purpose of tonight's open house is truly to answer your questions, but I thought I would give a brief overview of the dietetic internship program, a quick overview on the application process. And we also have two of our extraordinary MSBI interns who are on with us tonight, FJ and Kristen Schmidt, who are also going to tell you guys from a personal standpoint how they went about getting their preceptors and organizing their rotation schedule. So we thought that that would be extremely helpful. So I'd like to start with just a general background, but before I do, I want to make sure that all of you know that our website contains so much information, so much more than what I could put on slides. So I would encourage everyone to go to our website and spend some time really understanding that. UNCO's dietetic internship was the first distance program to be accredited by Ascend in 1995. So we were the very first to implement a distance education model. We've always been accredited by Ascend. We accept 30 BI students, and now with the MSBI program, we're accepting up to 30 MSBI students as well. We have so many great things about our program, but one that is a highlight is that you don't have to relocate. You can create your rotation schedules anywhere you want to live. And so that's a huge bonus. We also have something that's very unique than to other distance programs, and that is we offer a full-time and a part-time option. Almost half of our interns are part-time because they work and have other commitments. So we offer that, or if you want to get done full-time, you're usually done within 8 to 10 months after you start. So you design your program. We have a lot of self-help information on our website, so you're not alone in doing so. But you do have the flexibility of designing your rotations. When compared to other distance dietetic internship programs, ours is one of the lowest costing internships. Our DI program is $8,400. And then I always like to say our program has always had a high pass rate for the registration examination. For the stats of 2018, those aren't even all of our test takers quite yet, but you can see we're really high. And the benchmark is about 85%, and we're always above 85%. Throughout the internship, even though it's a distance program, I offer a lot of support. And so we do study sessions, you guys have practice tests, and that starts right out of the gate during your orientation. So just a couple of the highlights. Our admission requirements, those are on our website. You must have at least a 2.8 to be considered on a 4.0 scale. If you do have a 2.8 through a 2.99, you are required to take the GRE. So that's a question that we get quite often. So if your GPA is a 2.80 and or a 2.99, you are required to take the GRE. In order to apply to our program for the DI, so I'm focusing on the DI program, you have to submit a completed rotation schedule. That means your preceptors are lined up and we know that you can complete the 1,200 practice hours, and you complete it just like any other intern would through DICUS. Oftentimes I'm asked, well, you know, who do you give preference to? We really look at letters of recommendation. We look at personal statements, and we like to see previous work experience in the healthcare industry, and also potential for leadership, and or if you've already shown leadership. So we really look for those things, and we give preference to that as well. Common traits that we really look for in interns is pretty much what a lot of the other internships look for: self-directed, motivated individual, very detailed focus, comfortable learning about computers, even if you haven't been online, you're comfortable with it, assertive, inquisitive, you're disciplined, and professional. And all of these are incredibly important to the selection committee, Amy and I and Nicole, because you guys are our eyes and ears. And so if you aren't motivated to learn, or you're not assertive in asking questions, you might not be getting the program that you should be. If you're not communicating with me, that you feel like something isn't going correctly, or you want some more information, you have to initiate that, because if I don't hear from you, If you don't attend my virtual office hours, or you don't email me, or we don't talk one-on-one, I don't know. So I always say, you guys are my eyes and ears. These are the traits that we're looking for. And one that I'm really a stickler on is a level of professionalism, since you are representing yourself, but you're also representing our dietetic internship in the field. The program requirements, again, all of these are on our website, so just a quick overview. ASCEND requires that every intern completes 1,200 supervised practice hours. Our internship is more general speaking, that we divide clinical, community, and food service into three equal parts. You must complete 300 or more hours in each of those rotations. And then what's really neat about our program is that we have two concentrations. And one concentration is management, and the other one is nutrition counseling and education. Again, you create what you want for those concentrations using the core competencies. And those, and that concentration area is 200 or more hours, so supervised practice hours. The only time you come to Greeley is for a 3-day mandatory orientation, and that's typically at the end of June. And you come in, and that's when we do all the nitty-gritty training, and you'll learn about how your preceptors will evaluate you, how you will evaluate them. We'll go over bloodborne pathogen, HIPAA training. We'll have guest speakers talk about clinical expectations in clinical rotations, food service. We have a little bit of stress management. So we do a lot in 3 days. And by the time, and I'm sure Esther and Kristen can speak to it a little bit, but by the time you are done with the 3-day orientation, your brain is saturated, and then you'll go home and start really better understanding it and taking time to really absorb it. But it's a lot of material in 3 days. Those of you who are not MSDI students, you will take 2 classes prior to the mandatory orientation. They are at a graduate level for a week long, and one is a review for MNT, Medical Nutrition Therapy, which I teach, and the other one is food service management with another instructor. And these classes are really designed just to get you to review material that you have already learned, because some of our interns have been out of school for a little bit, and to prepare you for your rotation. They're not for a letter grade, they're for a satisfactory of passing. And pretty much everybody has passed those 2 classes. So let's move into how to apply. At the bottom of the screen, you can see the website. And again, I would strongly, can you guys hear me okay? Okay. I would strongly encourage all of you to go to the website, read through how to apply, and look at all the documents that are in that folder, okay? I've cut and copied some of the most important documents that you'll need for your application. The first one, if you can see my cursor, is the dietetic internship rotation form. This helps you identify what preceptor you'll complete hours at, and also, number of hours, who the preceptor is, and then on the furthest right-hand side of this document, I wish I could move it. We'll show you what rotation it aligns with. So it will be clinical, or community, or food service. So you will be submitting this document once you have isolated and determined who your preceptors are and how many hours you will be practicing with them. So all of these documents, the preceptor form, you will have a preceptor who agrees to work with you, complete it, and then complete the facility form. And these documents are uploaded into DICUS along with your rotation summary. And this is your application checklist. So if you go through the application checklist, you'll know that you've completed everything that we require. Again, all of these documents are on our website. And I think that Kristen and Esther can speak to those a little bit more as well. So I'm assuming the bulk of the questions are going to be about these. And so we can also go to the website after Kristen and Esther kind of talk about what they did. I'd like to spotlight who can be a preceptor, because oftentimes a lot of students don't realize that you don't have to have a registered dietitian for all of your rotations. It's great if you do, but you don't, it's not necessary. You have to have registered dietitian nutritionist for your clinical site and rotation, but that's the only one that is required to have an RD. Okay, so I want to make that very clear. So for your clinical rotation, you must have RDs. For your clinical rotation, we're looking for at least 200 of your hours as an inpatient at a hospital, inpatient acute care. That's on our website, but sometimes it's over. So we're looking for about 200 plus or minus some hours of acute care in a hospital. And so you can rotate through an entire hospital. You can go through the ICU. You can have cardiovascular patients. You can have diabetes patients, oncology patients, pediatrics. So you're looking for hospitals that will give you a wide range of experience. Your outpatient hours are again to be with an RD if it's, since it's clinical, and you could actually specialize in what you're interested in. So I've had some interns say, I'm really interested in renal. I'm not getting any renal rotations in my primary, my inpatient, so I'd like to do a lot of my renal hours as an outpatient in DaVita. Fine, great. Some interns want to work with eating disorders as an outpatient rotation. Perfect. So as long as there are RDs, some of our interns work in private practices with RDs. Sky's the limit. So sports nutritionists, some go out and work with, we have an RD who graduated from our program, and you could do some sports nutrition with them. A little bit of clinical, not as much, but you could complete some of your outpatient clinical hours with a sports dietitian if they're truly not just feeding a team, but addressing clinical issues. So that's your clinical, but as far as your other rotations, Again, look at this list. We have a document online that says who can be a preceptor. I would strongly encourage all of you guys to take a good long look at it. You can have licensed mental health professionals, food service directors and managers for your food service rotation. They don't have to be RDs, but what you will do is give them the core competencies that are in and on our website. And if they can fulfill those, they can be a preceptor. Okay? So I just want to make sure that everybody is clear about who can be preceptors. And again, I would spend some time really looking at better understanding, thinking outside the box, like even nonprofit organizations for nutrition ed and counseling or community. A lot of those preceptors aren't RDs, but they look at our core competencies and they say, you know what, I can fulfill those. We would love to have Jenny at the Salvation Army with us. And so again, think outside the box. So tips to find preceptors. Again, Esther and Kristen can speak to these as well. But I always say, go back to your advisor who you worked with for many years and ask them if you want to stay in your community. Ask them for recommendations and other professors. Ask previous employers, even if it wasn't directly in some part of like clinical dietetics. A lot of food service, restaurant owners know good preceptors, so ask them. I would also encourage you to volunteer if you haven't. That's a great way to get your name out there and to get to know people. Look at our academy's website. They have preceptors listed on the website. I would strongly encourage everyone to attend local academy meetings. That's how you network. If you get one no, don't stop at that. Don't say thank you. Ask them for a name of someone else they could refer you to. Those are great networking opportunities. And again, I always encourage people to not take the first no. Contact previous interns. And we also, Amy Baird, has a preceptor list that you are more than welcome to request from Amy, and she'll be more than happy to send it out to you. But again, use that as more of a starting place rather than the end all be all, because if you're creative and you think outside the box, you have core competencies that you're giving potential preceptors, and the core competencies are on our website. And if they say they can fulfill them, they are usually approved. So I'd like to introduce Esther Shea. She's an MSDI. She's a current intern, and she lives here in Colorado. So she's had a little bit of a different experience. And this was before we had Kristen Schmidt, Nicole Schmidtiel, sorry, as a supervised practice coordinator who will help with the MSDI. Kristen Schmidt is an MSDI current intern, and she lives in Illinois. So they've had two completely different experiences, and they are great, great resources. So I thought that I would kind of turn it over to them to allow them to describe how they went about setting up their rotation schedules and preceptors, because it's kind of scary to initially contact a preceptor. So you guys could hear from two students, and then we're going to open it up for questions. So how does that sound?
Yeah. Hi, everybody. My name is Esther Shea. I am one of the two individuals that you see on the screen here. thank you for having me. I first want to congratulate everybody for being where you're at, because I think anybody who works just as hard as anybody in this field deserves an internship and much, much more. So I genuinely, genuinely say to all of you, congratulations. And I really, really do wish you guys the best. And you know what? I, above all, I think with consistency and hard work, it will happen. I promise. I do agree with Dr. Withrow that this program, Dr. Withrow is exceptional at supporting all of us as interns. We all call her kind of the mama bear, because she will fight for you and she'll love on you and she'll discipline you if you need, if you need to hear it, but then she's very, very supportive. Also for me, it was really great to be in this program because I have two kids and I really needed the flexibility to adapt my rotation schedule with my kids' school schedule. So that was really helpful in doing that, which I know most internships won't allow that. So I just want to first off in saying that there's 30 individuals in our cohort right now, and all of us have preceptors. Okay, so I know a lot of people, I think in the grapevine, you always hear that it is so difficult to find preceptors. Don't listen to them. It is possible. Okay, but I do agree you have to be creative. However, it is possible. It's impossible if there were more people in our group that didn't have preceptors, but we all do. Everybody will find them. So there's a few things that Kristen and I decided to touch on. So I'll start off with just a few and then Kristen will finish off with the rest. But number one, I really wanted to encourage everybody to start early. And so right now it's not too late. However, I really do encourage everybody to at least begin within the next week. But however, I wouldn't recommend that you jump in the pool with, you know, if you don't know how to swim, don't jump in the pool. Get your stuff ready first. And what I mean by that is, number one, getting your resume together, having it reviewed, making sure that it is very, very professional. Number two is making your own list. And I know that the website was referred to a lot during this talk. However, and there's a lot of information that I think can be intimidating. However, if you can just take like an hour and just break it down on your own, we're all really good in nutrition to look at the details. And I'm sure everybody here is. So if you could just take some time, give yourself about an hour, go through it, make your own separate list, and then reevaluate to make sure that your list is coherent with the list that's provided by UNC. And that way you really begin to understand the requirements. I started using just an Excel spreadsheet. I took that long description and just broke down exactly what I needed. So clinical, community, food service, and then what we required within each. So within clinical, I needed at least 200 hours of inpatient, outpatient, so on and so on. So make your own list. Also thinking outside the box. And so when you're getting ready to, you know, and Dr. Withrow talked about this, but you know, for me, I knew that a lot of the community opportunities that was available in the Denver area wasn't something that I really was interested in. And so I contacted the public health department here. And so, and you know, surprisingly enough, and it was just a basic question, do you take interns, dietetic interns? And they did actually. Other ones are like, well, no, but can you tell me a little bit more? So really thinking outside the box. So number two, I wanted to talk about really preparing your soliciting material. So I briefly touched on getting a really good resume, because You're going to be sending your resume with any email that you're going to be sending out. You're also going to be, if you're going to cold call, you're also going to be offering your resume. This really shows preceptors that you are very prepared and that you're really going to sell yourself. So you got to think that even during the soliciting time, this is kind of that initial stage of the interview. A lot of preceptors will come back and look at your interview, pick out the ones that they actually want to do a formal interview with, and they will give you a call. So this is really your foot in the door. And so get that resume ready. Also, what I did was I created a script. I typed up a script, and this thing I used constantly. So I just created a Word document and I labeled it voicemail script, and I labeled one email script. And I labeled those things according to what I was looking for, whether it was community, clinical, food service, or whatever. And so anytime that, you know, I was, you know, soliciting a clinical preceptor, I would use my clinical script. And so really it's dear or hello, miss, you know, and I would really use that professional prefix. Again, this is just kind of your front and center, you know, you're showing your professionalism, my name is so-and-so, and then you're creating that script and saying what you're interested in and exactly how many hours you're looking for. This really takes away a lot of the tedious work that preceptors don't have to do. Great, thank you for emailing, how many hours, what are you interested, blah, 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 blah. Sometimes they just want to know exactly what you're interested in and how many hours you need. And so being very specific about that. And again, having that script, it was really helpful because at times I would have to cold call, you know, and leave voicemail messages. And, you know, I think when we call professional numbers, like, you know, you hear that beep and your heart starts racing. You want to be professional, but you don't know what to say. Have that script ready so you can just read it and just make it comfortable for yourself. Read it over and over again to the point where, and I promise you, after you do it a few times, it just really does become comfortable. And the last one I want to talk about was how to ask for a rotation. And so this just kind of goes back about what I just talked about very being very, very specific. Are you looking for outpatient? Are you looking for inpatient? How many hours of community are you looking for? What food service rotation are you looking for? Those kinds of things. So really presenting yourself, showing your preceptors exactly what you're wanting, what you're expecting. Yeah, I think that's about it. Kristen, you can take over from now.
Sure. Thanks, Esther. Hello, everyone. As Dr. Withrow mentioned, my name is Kristen Schmidt. I'm from Champaign, Illinois, but grew up in the Chicago suburbs. So I did kind of have to go across the state for one of my rotations back up in Chicago. But just also wanted to congratulate everyone for how far you guys have gotten. And I agree completely with what Esther said as being organized with everything, having those scripts ready, making sure you have your draft emails, make sure you attach everything to that first email. Like, don't forget to attach your resume, maybe have a checklist available. And then also being creative with finding preceptors. I just wanted to touch a bit more on that. As Dr. Withrow said, don't be afraid of getting no's. I had an Excel tracking form and I got a lot of no's, but that led to some of the best yeses as well. So a lot of times if a preceptor might review their competencies and maybe they can't provide it, they may know someone who can. So they may connect you in that sense and kind of network for you. Otherwise, I also wanted to mention that tracking portion, which I used an Excel spreadsheet to track who I contacted, what their contact information was, who they are, where the facility is located. Also, if I contacted them via email or phone, did I get a message? Just staying very organized in that sense. And don't give up. Follow up on that first email. If you don't hear back after, say, a week or so, I think was the time frame I used, follow up with a short, brief email. Thank you for your time. Just following up on a recent email I sent regarding my request for a rotation for my dietetic internship is kind of some of the phrasing I use, but it's definitely helpful to have that written. And if you have questions, you guys can always ask us for that too. And so say you can't get a hold of someone. That was one of the issues I ran into, was finding phone numbers or specific emails for the dietitians that I was hoping to connect with. So that's where the networking component really comes into play. If you guys are on LinkedIn, try to connect that way with other dietitians. Dr. Withrow mentioned your advisors from your past programs, maybe. Attending those local meetings, I don't know where everyone's from, probably across from the country, but that was also an opportunity I missed out on originally because I didn't know our community had a local A&D organization, which was probably my fault. But after I went to a couple meetings, I had met some people that basically mentioned, oh, I would have been your preceptor had I known. I'm sorry I couldn't complete that. So I kind of missed out on some opportunities there, but they're always willing to help you. And preceptors usually want to always make it work for you. And so the last point, or last two points I wanted to touch on, was preparing for that interview. Say you guys had been emailing back and forth, competencies look great. How do you prepare for that interview? Definitely research the facility you're going to. It's almost like you're selling yourself. You're your own brand and UNCO's brand. So researching their facility, going in well prepared, just like any job interview you would. Having that resume, bringing a copy of the core competencies would be recommended. Sometimes they want to know very specific details of what your requirements are, and having that guide is really helpful. And so say you get the rotation, definitely send out a thank you to your preceptor. A thank you handwritten card is always best, but a thank you email works too. And stay in contact with them throughout the process. If they have questions, I would direct them to Dr. Withrow or Amy or Nicole. So any questions, I guess. That's all I had.
I just wanted to add just one more thing. Clinical is really difficult to find. I think a lot of people know that. However, a lot of lists out there didn't work out for me. The best way is Google just hospitals, okay? Just hospitals in your area. Cold call that main number and just ask for a nutrition office. That is how I got my clinical rotations. It's really called that, and then they will forward you to the main number, and it's usually a dietitian's or nutrition office. Leave your name and your number and follow up with them. Just wanted to add that.
And cool. Before we open it up for questions, I kind of thank you, Kristen and Esther. That's wonderful information. I wanted to kind of add on to Kristen, and if somebody can mute their microphone, I keep hearing feedback. But I'd also like to tell everybody, you know, some states are more difficult than others to get clinical. So start with your clinical rotations, and also be flexible. Be flexible in the sense that you might have to commute for the 300 hours and you know it's not forever. I have interns that have done part of their internship in Texas, and they couldn't find clinical hours, so they crashed on the couch of a friend of a friend's in Colorado. And so what I would really strongly encourage everyone is to be flexible if you can. Be flexible. I know some, you know, like Esther is a mother, so it wouldn't be a great thing to leave for kids, but others can commute a little bit further, get out of like a 15-mile radius, and or figure out a different area altogether. So I wanted to say that. I also wanted to say that Every intern creates different ways to track who they've contacted, and yeses and nos. But Nicole Schmidtu, I believe, is on, has created a document that simplifies that for you, that you are more than welcome to use. It's on our website and is wonderful and well organized for you to just download and keep track of. Okay, I've contacted this preceptor. I haven't heard back from her in a week. So the date to contact her again, maybe this time by telephone instead of email, is this date. So definitely use a way to track. I know Kristen and Esther made up their own, but Nicole has created one as well.
Yeah, and I want to say, Nikki, I am here, and that form is available. And I think one of the things that's helpful is seeing when you last contacted a preceptor and knowing when to follow up, like Dr. Withrow mentioned, because sometimes, especially with clinical dietitians whose schedules are overwhelmingly busy and emails get buried, don't think that just because someone hasn't responded to you within a couple of days or a couple of weeks that it's because they don't want you as an intern. Sometimes that follow-up is just really required in order to make that connection. So regardless if you use our template or your own, making sure you schedule in those follow-up dates to ensure that you get a contact with that person.
Thank you, Nicole.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So we have, a handful of minutes left, like 20 minutes. It's open for questions and answers. We're all here to answer.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, this is Regina. Sorry, I'm just recovering from laryngitis.
So. Oh, no.
It's okay. It's totally fine. It was all a learning experience. But thank you so much, Dr. Withrow and Nicole and Amy and Kristen and Esther. Really appreciate all of your, everything that you've had to share. This seems like a really incredible program, and would, I have some ideas cooking. I'm in Boulder. I've been volunteering with a community gardens, which also, it's a nonprofit, which also has a very strong educational component, and also like a culinary food management nutrition program. So I was wondering, would it be appropriate to say combine a food management, your food management hours, say as an example here, working with the farm chef, going out to the farms, looking at food sourcing, looking at food preparation, and basically an industrial setting, and then also doing the more education community hours at the same place. Would that be appropriate, or would you like to see, would you need to know more about it, or how would that work?
Great question, and I'll answer that. So I'm very familiar with that program.
Oh,
and cool. And so how I would... So Ascend's requirements is that you get a breadth and depth and a variety of experience. So, so I would say if you could target that particular facility for one of those rotations, yes, that would be great.
Okay.
It's not unheard of if you do both at one site. But you really, this is your time as an intern to learn about so many other areas in nutrition, facilities, organizations. And so I would encourage you to seek more and different preceptors. But that's a great program. And usually that particular one has fit into the community core competencies. And so the core competencies, you guys, are on our website. And so what you do with those is exactly what Kristen and Esther said, is you give those, you attach that document to your email and let them go through it and see actually what they can fulfill. So maybe this particular preceptor will say, Regina, I really can't fulfill as many in the community, but I really liked what I saw in the management, because that's where we need some support. And so we'll accept you for your concentration hours. So attach both and let them decide, because they are your preceptor mentoring you and they know what they can complete.
Does that makes so much sense. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Good question.
I have a question. So you guys were saying that the clinic, thank you also, sorry, hi. But you were saying that the clinical rotation is probably the smartest to get first, but is there an order that you prefer for the rotation schedule? Or is that basically up to us and being flexible with the preceptors?
Absolutely. Flexibility is key. So when your preceptors can fit you in, that's when you do it. So okay. Amy and I do not have a preference when we don't say, okay, Esther and Kristen, you have to complete clinical first, then food service, then community, then your concentration. So no, that's dictated 100% by you guys.
Okay,
and
awesome.
We also have interns that start with one and then have to leave for a while and then go back to it. So again, it's okay. Something that preceptors, in order for them to work with interns, kind of have built in some flexibility.
Mm-hmm. And is there like a maximum amount of time to complete an internship, part-time or full-time?
Yes. So if you are a full-time intern, your completion, so you'll work up to 40 hours a week and no more than 40.
Okay.
And you will complete within 8 to 10 months.
That's right. Okay.
And then part-time is 10 to 14 months.
Gotcha. Awesome. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good questions. Keep them coming.
Hi there. Nice to meet you. I'm Kirsten.
Hi.
Hi. I was wondering, what is the payment schedule for the tuition? Is it half in the beginning and then half in the middle if you go both full-time and part-time?
I'm going to defer that to Amy.
Hi. Kristen, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Sorry. Tuition is connected to credit hours. So you will do a total of 24 credit hours as a dynamic intern, 20 hours as an MSCI student. But you,
Amy?
Yes.
We can't hear you.
Oh. Well,
That was a little better.
No.
Hey, Amy, could you try answering it in the group chat section, like typing out?
Yes, I'll do that.
Oh, that'd be great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That was actually a little better.
Well, I can talk really loud. So, is that better? No? I'll answer in the chat.
Okay. Thank you. That's okay. I also have one more question. I was wondering, can I work with a registered dietitian who works in like a research lab? What would that go towards?
Absolutely. I would strongly encourage that. We have a research module on the core competencies. And so is it a clinical researcher?
Yeah.
Yeah, she could fulfill some of the core competencies. I would look at the clinical core competencies. One in particular is the CRDN 1.4. And so she could fulfill a handful of those competencies. When Amy's typing, I do want to say that everyone's tuition must be paid in full prior to graduation. So it's like we can't graduate you with an outstanding tuition bill. So that I do want to say.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. That was good to know.
Yeah.
So when you say graduation, you mean graduation from the internship, not from our university, right?
Correct. So from the DI.
Okay, cool.
And Dr. Withrow, may I ask another question, if it's okay?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. So say we cut our food service and community hours under our belt, and we find out about a really fabulous clinical and or research position. However, they don't have necessarily any openings for another X amount of time. Is there a period of time in which this program needs to be finished in terms of the DI? Does it need to absolutely be within a 14-month period or a 10-month period if it's part-time, and then absolutely 8 months must be done for the full-time?
That is what our goals and outcomes are, yes.
Okay,
so that's great. How we're accredited. You know, obviously there are extenuating circumstances for some students who have like a medical leave or whatnot. But yes, those are pretty strict. But you are more than welcome to talk with me. Well, hi there. And
this is Max.
And let me know. Let Amy and I know the circumstance, and then maybe
sure.
No. Hi, buddy. You're welcome.
Hi there. I was wondering if you could talk about the assignment and homework load and what that looks like outside of your 40 hours a week at your rotations.
So Esther, Kristen, do you want to take a stab at that?
Yeah, sure. I would say so far for me, it's just been dependent on my rotation. I'm at an inpatient clinical right now. And so there has been times since the 5 weeks I've been there, I've had to do some weekend and evening work. Nothing that it feels like regular school. I just want to ease you on that a little bit. There are assignments, you want to do them well. I do feel like preceptors are like really understand intern life. And so when there are some downtimes, they say, you know, why don't you just work on your stuff, or, you know, and there may be preceptors who don't. It just depends. It depends on their flexibility and what you have to do to meet your competencies. But I personally, for myself, feel like it hasn't been that bad at all.
Awesome.
Yeah, I would completely agree with that. I've had very similar experience. It just depends on your preceptor, your rotation, and I would say still have some free time in there, but you definitely want to focus on doing the assignments well. Usually your preceptors are pretty mindful of that, and it just kind of builds into your day. If you do have that downtime, which odd hour, 30 minutes, you can get a lot accomplished in that time for the assignments. So I wouldn't worry too much about extra time on that.
And I do want to say that if you can get through your nutrition degree and what you guys have done already so far, these assignments are easy breezy. I mean, you learn a lot doing them, but I don't want to intimidate anybody thinking that it's like this massive project that, you know, I mean, you have to put that into it, but you guys are prepared. We're all prepared to do it. Let's just say that, you know, it's not anything that is going to, you're going to feel like, oh my gosh, I'm hitting myself against the wall. You know, you're very prepared to do it.
Speaking about that, is there in the concentrations, is there any like special projects that we complete? Kind of like an extracurricular, but an elective type of thing?
There are assignments that are connected to the two concentrations, and so you can always talk with your preceptor and how you would like to fulfill those.
Okay, yeah, I didn't know if it was like something that we ourselves like think of and come up with.
Yeah,
like maybe a podcast or something along those lines, or some project that you come up with as an intern, because I know some distance internships do that.
Yeah, so it's really, you know, as long as you complete the assignment, I don't micromanage preceptors and your idea if she feels like that fulfills a requirement, then that's wonderful. What do you, Kristen, Esther, what's your take on that?
Yeah, so you mentioned the podcast, and for my long-term care rotation, I had the opportunity to record a podcast with my preceptors and the directors of dining for a long-term care setting. So that was pretty neat at our local radio station. So I think those opportunities definitely present themselves, and the preceptors are very flexible with how to fulfill those assignments and are open to any ideas you might have, as well as what they had in mind for that assignment.
Cool. Awesome. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hi. I had a question regarding about like how many people that attend or that are doing this remotely are also working at the same time. Like, what's kind of the percentage of people, and how do they typically navigate it, if you know?
I would say over half of my interns are working.
Okay.
So I even have some full-time interns who are working.
Okay.
So it's just really about prioritizing their time, managing their time, and knowing that it's pretty short-lived. But the majority, I don't know, Amy, what do you think, like over 60% are working, 60-70? It's a high percentage.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a related question. Hi, I'm Laura. Which is for the part, so I'm interested in the part-time program because I'm working, and when you're scheduling people for the application process, preceptors, how detailed do you have to be about the part-time schedule that you'll have? I mean, do you have to say Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday every week for these 3 months, or can you just say in this block, you know, agreeing with the preceptor that you'll sort out the exact days later, can you say like within this 3 month block we'll complete X hours, or does that?
So I'm going to, Kristen and Esther, do you want to answer that? Or
for me, so I hope I did it right. I wasn't specific about the schedule as far as like the dates until I got matched. And so what I did was I just confirmed the number of hours first when I was looking for preceptors. Yeah. Once you get matched, just because I needed to match my kid's school schedule. That was my priority. So as soon as I matched, I contacted my preceptors and I said, what days can I get in there? And I adjusted to that.
And then we got the dates finalized kind of soon thereafter.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree with that. I had a similar experience, but I don't have kids. So, but I am working as well. So balancing that, I let my work know first, and they were very, what's the word I'm looking for? Giving, because they paid for part of my tuition, but also they were respectful of the schedule and flexible in that sense. So when contacting preceptors, I would recommend just locking in those hours with them. And after you get matched, like Esther said, I did that also, then kind of picking out the schedule together as that gets closer to make sure it would work.
Because once everyone gets matched, now everybody's competing for the schedule that, you know, and if you need it to be very specific to yours, I recommend contacting them early.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I agree. But as far as the application packet, Amy and I are really looking for your preceptor, your completed preceptor form, the facility form. And on that rotation schedule, you don't have to have confirmed dates. You have to have, you know, 200 hours with Nikki at Children's Hospital. And so it's great if they can give you some time so you know who else you can kind of fit in elsewhere. Some facilities will say, we only accept interns during the month of February through May, so you can kind of plan for that. So every preceptor's a little bit different, but again, they're usually able to work with you.
Hi there, this is Tyler. I had a question. Is there a maximum number of hours that you can get from a single preceptor or a single facility?
So for community food service and clinical, we say, a minimum of 300, and then usually it's a little bit like 350 or so. And then, your concentration is a minimum of 200. Ascend requires 1,200 supervised practice hours. And so you have to have a minimum of 1,200 supervised practice hours, and how I just divided it. But what I would strongly not encourage you to do is tell, let's say, a preceptor that you will work with them 600 hours of clinical, 500 hours for community, 400 hours for food service, and 300 hours for your concentration. Why? Preceptor burnout's huge, intern burnout, and it's just going above and beyond what is absolutely necessary. So I'd like to say, to give yourself a little bit of a buffer. So don't just do 1,200. I would probably give yourself a little bit of a buffer of maybe 50 to 100 hours.
So I guess that wasn't exactly my question, state super clearly. I meant of those 1,200 or 1,300 hours, how many can come from a single facility or a single preceptor? Is there a limit on that? Like, is there a minimum number of preceptors we would need to have, or minimum number of facilities that we would need to have?
So, great question. So, remember, going back to kind of that breadth and depth of experience, we're looking for about three or more preceptors. And that three will give you like the bare minimum. And so we're looking for more than that, at least a different one for each of your rotations. For your clinical rotation, it's nice to have one for the inpatient acute care and one for outpatient. and get you out of that one facility. But if that's not possible, then you can only work in the hospital and that hospital has outpatient care, then, you know, that's okay too. But ideally speaking, you really want to kind of diversify your application so you have more experience. Some preceptors, though, will say, I'm sorry, I can't accept you unless you commit to 400 clinical hours with us. And we can fulfill all those core competencies, even the outpatient. Don't turn it down. Take it.
For me, I couldn't find I couldn't get an outpatient clinical spot that took me for all the hours that I needed. So, so I have three outpatient preceptors at three different facilities, but I met my hours with all of that. However, in hindsight, I actually really appreciate that that's kind of how it ended up, because I've learned so much in these three different areas at three different hospitals. So yeah, what I've liked, my inpatient and outpatient, all in one facility, just two preceptors, that would have been great. It just didn't work out that way. So I think that's where the whole flexibility comes in.
And really going back to the core of what Ascend wants for you guys as interns is that breadth and depth and variety of experience.
Hi, my name is Marta, and I just had one quick question. Kind of going off of that, on top of the three rotations and the concentration, on the site I saw that it said there's a minimum of 40 hours for school nutrition program and 40 for long-term care. So if we are doing food service, say in the hospital, then would we need to find 40 hours elsewhere to complete those?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we may need upward of six different preceptors to fill all of the minimum requirements?
Not always. I mean, again, we don't have a lot, you know, some interns can't get up to six.
Okay.
So, but again, wherever you live, like in rural areas, some interns really have the minimum. Okay. So, because that's what they can get. So your long-term care, you'll have up to no more than 80 hours, and you designate with long-term care whether those hours go toward clinical or food service.
Okay.
And so that's another type of clinical experience if that's what you choose it to go toward.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
Good question. Any other questions?
Hi. I just had a quick, first, thank you so much for all the information and the interns, very, very like awesome information for us to feel a little bit better about this whole process, because I'm not gonna lie, it's a little overwhelming. I did have a question with the concentration of management. Is this where, I mean, I'm trying to think outside the box, and I've been to, I remember going to a couple restaurants, because currently I'm not living in the US, but I will be next summer. So I was looking back in the areas that I was hopefully going to live again. And the restaurants there, is this where maybe we could reach out for management? Concentrations, like for restaurateurs or entrepreneurs that started their own business, is this something that could fall into that?
Yeah, but again, the only way you will know is if you give them the core competencies, and then they can, you send those in an email, and if they say yes, we can fulfill those, then and they meet the criteria for a preceptor, which is they've worked in their field for at least a minimum of 2 years, and they can document kind of how they maintain either their licensure or if they have continuing ed. Yeah, absolutely. So just as long as they can fulfill those core competencies.
Okay. Just to follow up, I do have preceptor locked in for long-term care and food service, but she is full-time. I've shadowed with her, so I kind of know basically what it would kind of be like to be her intern. She stands in meetings, she takes care of budget, she does a lot for this facility. Would it be okay to use her also in under the management if, like, for some reason I can't find another one to, you know, on top of long-term care and food service?
I would think so. You know, it's hard for me to say absolutely that makes your application packet really strong because I haven't seen it. But again, if they can fulfill those core competencies and you can't find anyone else, then yes.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions? I know we've gone a little bit over, but I'm okay staying on a little bit longer.
Dr. Withrow, you mentioned that the core competencies are available on the website.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm just cruising around the DI site and looking for those competencies so I can.
Yeah. So look for them under I don't know how to apply or all those documents are there.
Okay. Great. I'll find it. And I'll begin to send it out to a few key people, just to see if that would even be a possibility. Okay. So,
and also use the, you know, there's an example of, I know Nicole created an example of like an initial contact letter.
Yeah.
And so, you know, read through that and, you know, emulate that as well.
Okay. And being professional.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions? So, first of all, Kristen and Esther, thank you for talking and giving us all such great insight to your process. And I really appreciate it. I'd also, for potential applicants, you're more than welcome to email me regarding DI questions and Amy Baird. And these are our email addresses. Janice Regal handles, if you're interested in the MSDI, you would first contact Janice. And so if that's the program you're kind of aiming toward, please filter your initial questions to Janice. And she handles the MSDI questions. Our website, again, is at the bottom. And good luck. We hope to see all of your applications. We know you guys can do it. It's a little bit of a tedious process, but it's worth it. You'll create really great, great rotations. And just to reassure you too, and I know Esther and Kristen can speak to this, is even though it's a distance dietetic internship program, I did a traditional one, and I feel like I am in touch with my students far more than the director of my program, because we have virtual office hours. This Thursday, they're presenting some things that they've enjoyed doing throughout their internship. We have study sessions. We have stress management sessions. We're adding kind of a journal club next year to review some research articles. I give tips on job interviewing second semester when some interns are beginning to finish. And so there's a lot of contact that you have, and so you're not alone. Also, I know that the interns have created a Facebook page where they, I think Esther and Kristen, you guys post questions and assignments or kind of ask questions about rotations and whatnot. And Facebook pages have been going on for years. So it's another way to connect. We have the ability to have discussion groups in through the Canvas shell. So you're not alone. Amy and I, for the, you know, just strictly the DI2 portion, we're always here to help you. And Nicole helps with the MS DI students to with getting their rotations, preceptors, and their rotation schedules identified along with working with the preceptors. So we have a lot of support for our students. So anyway, good luck, you guys. We hope to look at your application. Let us know if you have any more questions. And thank you, Esther and Kristen and Nicole and Amy for attending too.
Absolutely. It was great to meet all of you all, and hopefully see some faces of some applications we'll be getting next year. So it's exciting.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you.